Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, you know, we just hit like 300 podcasts.
Yeah, we just did that.
Yeah, it was great, phenomenal. But I do want you to know that we have to do some reshoots. So I want us
re-record things.
Re-record a couple of episodes.
Okay, which ones?
I would like to re-record Witch Island.
No, that was a great one.
No, it has so many issues. So many issues. I think that we need to reshoot it. So,
And this time you're going to host it, right? You're going to be the one who intros it and everything.
I'll host it, but I need you. I need you to be present for this and don't act out.
I never act out. I don't know what you're talking about. Me, dramatic? Never in my life have I been accused of being dramatic.
Yeah, I just need you to. Wait a minute. You said that you weren't dramatic.
I know. I just said that.
I feel like that was sarcastic.
Oh, I mean, I want the listeners, because we've had this discussion offline of like,
oh gosh,
the more dramatic. And stop that, because I think people would say that you might be more dramatic.
Okay. Oh my God. We haven't done one of these like messy polls.
We haven't. No, it's
so
more like,
long. Who's the most dramatic?
But is it better to do, am I dramatic? Because if it's that way, it's not as like, it's not as much of a race, I guess.
I mean, I love these messy ass.
Okay, then do it. Who's more dramatic, Sarah or Jess? We'll see what people say. I want to know what the listeners think, because they don't know us like in our day-to-day interactions.
They know us in our day-to-day.
That was like Moira Rose levels of dramatic.
I'm unwell today, to be honest with you.
Are you run down today, Sarah?
I am run down.
Is it the T-Swift combined with the vacation that has run you down?
Yeah, I'm just not feeling so well.
Well, probably also the children.
Do I sound like so sexy?
You sound a little bit like you just woke up.
Yeah, I know, but...
That's what you sound like.
Kinda, in the last hour.
I mean,
kinda.
I don't sound great either. The pollen is hitting
No, you
hard.
Sound normal to me.
To me, I can hear it, but the pollen is hitting hard. Did I tell you I got my car washed the other day?
No. Wow.
It was very exciting. This is dumb, but okay. Just prepare yourself.
Were you in the car wash?
Yes.
Or did you have to sit out of the car wash?
No, I don't want to go to those ones, because that's not, you're not paying for the experience in that, you know? Okay. Part of the, Sarah just put her head in her hands. part of the fun of the car wash is the experience. And people will say, I don't get out much. To which I say, I agree with you. I don't get out much.
I okay. So like, but. Yeah, like another smidge of a caveat. Like I was in Florida and I did get some sun and like I can't tan. But the comparison between me and you today is alarming.
I look like a sheet of paper.
You're starting to look a little sickly.
I don't look sickly. I just look like a sheet of paper because I wear sunscreen.
I do too.
I am a pale person. Blame my parents.
I'm pale too.
Yeah, well, I don't purposefully get sunburned because it's terrible for your skin. Okay, anyway, whatever. Can I get back to my car wash story that you just like completely interrupted?
My apologies.
So we were out grabbing lunch and I was like, you know what? My car is green from the pollen. Let's go to the car wash. And Will's like, oh, is it the, and he asked the same question. Is it the one that you like have to do yourself, or are you in the car, or are you outside the car? And I was like, I'm not going to a car wash where I'm not in the car. That is the experience. It was so exciting. I felt like a kid again. It's also kind of claustrophobic, but it's kind of, that's the thrill, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Sarah's like, absolutely not.
What else?
That was
it. Is there anything else to the story besides the fact that you went through the car wash and it was fun?
The guy was like really nice. The guy who ran it. That was
okay.
It. And my car's dirty like 2 days later because of the pollen.
Okay.
So it's very
Did you
exciting.
Get any inside spritzes?
Spritz it? No, my windows were closed.
No.
What kind of monster leaves the windows open?
No, Okay, whenever I go to the car wash, they vacuum the inside, but then they also spritz it with your choice of scent.
Oh, no. Whatever that one was, I didn't pay for it. That's crazy.
All right, so apparently they're telling me about the cheapest service.
Yes, I did. I told you that. It was just the drive-through kind. It wasn't like they didn't detail the inside, which I do need because of Winston.
All right. So basically, you got the poor bitch car wash and it's dirty again.
Yeah,
how much did that cost you? $19.99?
Know actually $15 or so.
The money, it does not matter as long as the experience is there.
It was a great experience and I wish it went on longer, but it was great. I loved it. People are leaving already. This is 5 minutes.
Yeah, because this is a boring story.
It's not a boring story. Go get your car washed.
It's a boring story. It's a boring episode.
It is a boring episode. We're talking Day Out of Days, season 6, episode 11. I feel like partly in this story, they really are trying to like, okay, first of all, CJ was a dick last episode and now all of a sudden we're supposed to be okay with him again. And I'm just very confused by that.
See, yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I think that that's the issue with everybody. Like every single character is confusing the shit out of me. Like I don't know what's going on. And I think that they're trying to make moves. Like,
well, yeah,
Dawson's
but it's like,
Creek,
what are we doing?
Is in hospice. We are making moves for it to end its life, and we have to make sure it's comfortable. So we got to make sure that Pacey goes back to old Pacey. We need to make sure that Joey's not like an annoying hoe. Like,
yeah, we have to break up Joey and Oliver Hudson.
Exactly.
And,
Dawson has to get back into his love for filmmaking. Like,
This is the course correction.
Yeah, like we're resetting. So, but if you didn't treat your characters like fucking morons and aliens, like from out of this world, then you wouldn't have to do this. That's the truth.
I don't know why it's cracking me up so much that aliens from another world. Yeah, you're so right. You know what? I feel like you're spot on. I feel like you've tapped in to the brains of the creators and know exactly what they're fucking up to.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to do a factory reset.
Yes, we are completely wiping our phones and brains clean of Dawson's Creek and resetting things because like on one hand, they really are like, oh, don't like, let's forget that CJ was a dick. We like him now. Oh, but also let's not forget that PC once was this like creative guy who like
they
was
even
a cook
referenced and the Hawaiian shirt.
They did. They brought the Hawaiian shirt back, Sarah.
I don't understand. It's like, okay, if you didn't want him to be like a corporate sellout, then like, why did you go down this road?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, that's the thing. It's funny because it's like they are looking at, I'm trying to think of how to explain this. It's like they're looking at the past like 10 episodes that they wrote and are like, wait a minute, who wrote these? This isn't right.
We have to fix this.
Yeah. It's like, what asshole broke this show? Oh, wait, now we need to fix it. Yeah. It doesn't.
You did this.
You did this, Dawson's Creek.
You did this.
But let's dive into this episode, season 6, episode 11, Day Out of Days. Dawson is back in, so they're at the film set, and apparently they're all done. Everything is done. Todd makes a speech. Everyone claps. Everyone's happy. They finished principal photography. Natasha and Dawson are getting into it. It's like, I thought they were done. I thought this was like an over thing, and Natasha is getting so like a little snippy because I guess Dawson wrote Todd's speech for him.
Yeah. I mean, they're a little frosty towards one another. And the last time we saw them, it was Christmas. And Natasha was telling Dawson that they're over, like that they were never supposed to be serious. It's supposed to be a fling. And then I guess they came back to work after New Year. And I think what Natasha's mad about is that Dawson has been frosting her out ever since the breakup, since they came back to set.
Yeah.
And I think Dawson is just like giving himself space from the situation because I think that he got hurt. So I think like they're mad at each other because I think that Natasha expected Dawson to just be cool about it and respected, like, understandably, he's like, I am not cool with it. I need time. Like,
yeah,
I need to separate myself with you. And
Natasha
she's like,
is just like one of those cats that likes to play with her food before she eats it.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's definitely a cat. Oh, wait, hold on. Quick.
Yes. Yes.
Dawson's Creek characters as cats and or dogs and what breed they are.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, I feel like Dawson does have like golden lab energy, but he's probably a cat.
Well, okay. Dawson is like a cocker spaniel who gets like separation anxiety when you leave him home alone.
Okay, so but he's still golden, right? He's like one of those golden.
Yeah,
cocker
he's
spaniels.
Like the yeah, exactly. Yes, yep, yep.
And I don't think that they're like that smart cocker spaniels, but like enough to get by.
No, enough to get by. Yeah. I would say Pacey is certainly something that is like a Labrador retriever.
He's slobbery. He's a slobbery dog.
Oh, what about but Newfies aren't
with those
super
big like jowls.
Okay, he could be a Newfoundland because they're cute, they're cuddly, they're like a little bit like slower to move around, but they love real hard.
Yeah, great.
So that tracks. Yeah. Joey feels like a cat.
Is Joey a cat?
I think so.
All right, like a black
very fickle
cat.
I think she wants to be a black cat,
but she's
really,
like a tortoiseshell.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I've heard that all tortoiseshells are just spicy.
What do you think about Jen being the black cat?
Jen's the black cat.
I think that makes sense. Her Jen's her dark meth past. She has to be a black cat.
Yeah.
Jack? What if Jack is a Jack Russell Terrier?
Yeah, like I just think that whatever he is, he's just like a pretty dog.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just he's like really everyone is always dog. Like, oh, what if he's like a no, because he's not as like energetic as a husky is. But
like
those dogs that always get compliments.
Like a poodle, but those big tall poodles
that are actually really smart.
That are extremely smart and they're also like very put together.
What about Audrey?
Oh, Audrey's definitely a dog.
Audrey feels like a like similar to like a Shih Tzu. She feels like a lap
dog. Can she be
a
Shih Tzu?
I think she would be a lap dog. So
yeah,
I'm
just
cool with her
wanting
being a Shih Tzu.
The love.
She
Audrey
just wants
just
the love,
wants
and no
the
one
love.
Wants to give it to her.
And nobody wants to give it to her.
Oh, this is
she
sad.
Just is a companion dog.
This
yeah,
is sad.
She kind of. I can see her looking like Belle. A little bit.
Sarah's dog Belle. Yeah.
Yeah, my dog Belle.
Because
I feel like I look like Belle. In my head. All right.
Anyway,
anybody else?
I mean,
I don't
Andy,
think so. That's
but
all
she's
over
been
creep
long
creeps.
Gone.
Andy.
Andy tries, or Andy's a border collie. Border collies are extremely smart and energetic, and love to have a good time. That's Andy.
Okay, that was fun. What a fun exercise.
I love talking dog breeds. I will talk dog breeds all day long. It is one of those things that I know a weird amount yeah. about.
Yeah. You were definitely one of those kids that, you know, researched every single dog
breed. I literally would go to the bookstore and buy dog breed books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, anyway.
That's very cute.
Joey is oh so desperate.
She's like calling Oliver Hudson nonstop. And also, by the way, like, why do we have title cards of the days? What's the point?
I feel like it's supposed to be like, oh, this is a whole week or something. But like, and it's called Day Out of Days. So they were really trying something with this episode. It did not work for me.
Yeah, trying but not succeeding for sure. All right, so she's desperate to get to Oliver Hudson. He's been ghosting her, I guess, once again since Christmas. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't really know what's going on with that. And it's kind of weird because, like, she's like, you know, I didn't think that Christmas was that bad. Like, why? I understand that it was, like, you know, such like an awkward situation, but I thought that you can give me a call. Obviously, he doesn't work at Hell's Kitchen anymore, so it's not like she can see him at work. I don't know what's going on with Oliver Hudson. We can speculate throughout the episode, but it's a little strange that he just ghosted her.
Yeah, it feels like, okay, like you were saying, we're hitting a factory reset button and like we're wiping the slate clean. Joey can't have a love interest right now, so we need to figure out a way to just poof, Eddie gone, and that's what they decided to do, I guess.
Just ghost. Like, we're just going to have Joey get ghosted.
Modern, the previous day ghosting, not modern day ghosting, but this is what olden times ghosting looked
olden
like.
Olden times ghosting. And then a character that I never expected to see ever again pops up, which is annoying mean professor's daughter.
Yeah, like, Harley.
Harley, 16-year-old girl. What is she doing here?
She is just like skipping school. She
moved to Boston.
She lives here now.
Yeah.
It's just like one of those things where she's cutting class. She was on a field trip and she decided she wanted to ditch. And apparently the reason that she is living with her father is because her mother is like moved to Bangladesh or something like that.
Oh.
And so that's why she's stuck with her dad. And of course Harley was like, I wanted to see Eddie.
Yeah. I want to see the hot guy at the bar that one night that I had a decent time here. And she says that he owes her a root beer float, which is true.
Yeah. She left too early last time for it. Yeah. So, Joey's like, okay, but then you have to like, I'll make you root beer float, but then you're going back to school because like, this is no place for children. And then for the first time, I mean, we've been in Boston, but we're finally visiting the Boston Aquarium.
Yeah. Which apparently Pacey goes to every single day on his lunch hour.
Who knew?
Who knew? I did not realize that Pacey was such a fish enthusiast.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because he was a big boat guy. So like,
oh yeah, that does make sense.
Right? It kind of tracks, I guess.
He says as much.
You can make it make sense.
It feels a little like out of place. Like, I'm a little confused.
Yeah, but he walks in and of course, who's there but Emma?
Which is weird as well. It's like, what are the odds?
Girl, what are you doing here? So she's like drawing on a notepad, listening to some music. And they sit down and they have a little chat. So Pacey says, like you said, he comes here every lunch hour, just to like walk around. And Emma says, oh, I just kill time until 1. And Pacey's like, what happens at 1? Like, I'm so intrigued. I must know. I'm like, is there not a sign somewhere that says what happens at 1? You know what I mean? Like, what?
Yeah. What does happen at 1?
Literally all it is, it's that they feed the fish. Oh, it's very exciting.
Exciting stuff. Okay. So this is what I think is going down. Obviously, Emma's developing a crush on Pacey, right? Like, they're developing a crush on each other, I guess. Pacey opens up his credit card statement, his mail, leaves it on the dining room table. Like, Emma is not trying to, but she's like cutting up an apple on the table and like just glances over and notices that on his credit card statement, it says Boston Aquarium and like yearly pass at the Boston Aquarium. Like, she didn't mean to, she's not trying to spy, you know, she just sees it. And then she's like, okay, Pacey goes to the Boston Aquarium. Like, what are the odds? Like, so interesting. I am going to go to the Boston Aquarium and wait until Pacey shows up, in which he does at 12 o'clock noon.
Interesting. Yeah. So this is all one big ruse.
Yeah. So that Emma could be like, we have so much in common. We both like fish. We That's both fair. Go to Boston Aquarium. We, you know, I feel like, you know, you can easily manipulate and orchestrate.
This is fair. This is fair. It's not that difficult to figure this out. So they talk about like staying until one. And then, of course, he has to leave because it's already 12:45. Then all of a sudden we're at the helpline, which is like the place where that CJ kind of runs. And Jen is there and she is talking on the phone. And she like is doing a fake phone call. She's practicing.
Yeah, and they're simulating.
Yeah.
An emergency phone call.
She says, well, of course it sucks. That's why they call it life. And what is it really under than an endless series of mind-numbing days, one on top of another? Alienation, despair. These are the natural byproducts of living in a mechanized society. Jen, this is very depressing, girl. Like, yeah, you're not making me feel any better.
That's Jen. But like,
that's why she's the black cat.
She used to be good at this.
Well, she... Sarah, I know the problem.
What? They factory reset her?
She's not on a dock. How is she supposed to give good advice without the dock?
Right. Of course, of course. We need a beach setting or yeah, like
she,
a
you know
like
what a she should do? Setting. You know those like plastic thingy jigs that you put under your desk when you're on a rug to let your chair move around more freely?
Of course, yes.
Get wooden planks. Instead,
wow,
to simulate a dock.
That'll make her feel better. But she also did a good job when she was on the radio show.
Oh, that's true.
But
CJ's presence.
Maybe, but maybe she had like a little snow globe that was from Cape Side. And she's like,
I remember.
I used to be good at this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, CJ's coaching her and is like, you're doing a god awful job. Like,
yeah.
Really, really bad.
Yeah, he's been doing this for 2 years, and she's getting a little snarky with him about the whole Audrey thing, and he's like, you know what, like, come back tomorrow, or don't come back, whatever you decide, make it about you, not about me, and I'm just like, how are these two even having a call? I thought we were done with CJ. Like, no, we're not. He's back. We're actually, like, seeing him, and I guess, excuse me, I don't like forgiving him. He just seemed like such an asshole last episode that like, why are we giving him the time of day this episode?
I don't know. Why are we giving Harley the time of day? Why are we still on the mean professor that gave Joey a D? Why are we doing any of this stuff? I don't know.
Really like to waste our time.
Why are we doing a podcast about Dawson's Creek when there's no creek and there's barely any Dawson? Like there's
barely
a lot
Dawson.
Of mysteries in this world.
Yeah. So then we go to the health clinic. I have to be honest, Sarah, this storyline had me very confused.
I once again think that they were really trying to preach safe sex, get tested. Amazing, spectacular. But like, did they even explain anything? So like,
what was even going on?
I think, okay, so... David is like, you know what, like, have you ever gotten tested? You really should. Like, I get tested every week because I'm a counselor and I want people to do so. And Jack's never been tested before, and he had his like ho bro era, and he really should get tested. Everybody should get tested, even if you have only had like one active partner, is still good to get tested, whatever. And Jack is really nervous because he's never done it before. It kind of reminds me of that Sex and the City episode where where Samantha really wants to have sex with this guy that's like known to be like the best lay in the city. And he's like, I won't do it unless we both get tested. And she has to go get tested. And everyone's like, you've never gotten tested before, Samantha. Like, you have a lot of sex. And she goes to the clinic and gets like very nervous. I love that episode because like she faints because she's so like scared, and the whole thing was like, you just don't want to get called into the little room. If you get called into the little room, you know you're fucked. And she got called into the little room, and then she started like having an anxiety attack, but
yes.
They just called her into the little room because they wanted to tell her to like practice safe sex.
I have visceral memories of that episode because yeah. I remember her fainting because they're like, not the little room.
Yeah. So I feel like that's like our version here of the little room. But I also don't think that Sex and the City did a good job of being like, you know, Samantha, like if you're having all these partners, you really need to practice safe sex. And yeah. like, I don't think we got here.
No, that's why I was a little thrown because I was like the whole time I was like, I'm fairly certain I understand what's going on, but they never really make it explicit. Like we could tell they're in like a health sort of facility by like we know what the woman wearing scrubs, like we know what a doctor's office looks like. And so like Jack is super, super nervous about everything. Yeah. David's talking about, oh, it's so easy. It's no big deal. They're going to ask about like high risk behavior, blah, blah, blah. And Jack is like very, very nervous about this whole thing.
He's nervous, but I also think that like he's nervous to explain to David why he's so nervous.
Because he's had so many partners more recently.
He's had a lot of partners in his Hobro era. And he doesn't want to explain to David, like, you know, I really got around and I've had a lot of partners and, you know, I've been single for a very long time, but like I'm committed to you. So
he doesn't want to be slut shamed. That's the easy answer. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. So I understand, like, because I understand context clues and I'm an intelligent young lady. I understand like what they're doing, but they didn't like explicitly say it. So I don't know.
Yeah. It was just like a little bit strange. But Jack gets called in. Then we're in Hollywood, baby. And it's Dawson and Todd, and the executives are talking about the movie. Mm-hmm. And he calls it blindingly dull, achingly dull, mind-numbingly dull.
Right. So they basically you show your screeners to a pre-audience who then give their feedback back.
Yeah.
And the producers or the executives are reading back the feedback from the audience who don't like the movie. So this is where it leads to, we need to do reshoots. And Todd gets mouthy because he doesn't want to do reshoots.
Yeah, of course. He gets very snarky. This is not like news to anybody that he has a bit of an attitude, especially with the executives. He's like going to smoke in the room, which I guess maybe it was legal back then. And Dawson basically this move from Dawson is so dumb. So he's like, Dawson, I need a light. And Dawson's like, oh, I'll go get one. I'll be right back. And he goes into the hallway and he calls Todd from the hallway. And Todd picks up his phone in the middle of this business meeting. And I'm like, this feels like also unprofessional.
They're all very unprofessional, but I think that there's, I don't know, if I was Dawson, I would, you know, touch his shoulder, lean in, say sidebar and say like, can we be excused for 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's exact. I was thinking the same exact thing. There's other ways to like get out of this situation and be like, oh, Todd, let's go you and me talk about this for a second. Or
because
Todd, I forgot to mention something to you before we came in here. I don't know. There's like so many ways to do it. That's not this.
Yeah, because it's Dawson's job to keep Todd not like calm.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's unreasonable to sidebar and just be like, look, like, let's hear them out.
Right.
You know, we have to get this over the finish line. It's going to be okay. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and Todd instead decides that the best move is to just get up and leave.
Yeah, he's like, fuck you. I don't need you. I don't need your reshoots.
Yeah.
Try to finish this movie without me, suckers. And he just puts everybody in a really bad situation.
Yep, it's so bad. And of course, Dawson realizes this. He's like, what are you doing? Todd's like, no, I totally did this on purpose. Like, we're the ones in charge. We're the ones who make the decision. And Dawson's like, yeah, but I don't understand how like Dawson has to teach Todd these things. This is where I feel like the show is really like, okay, Dawson's your hero. We love Dawson. Like, Dawson's very smart. Dawson knows the movie business.
Yeah.
Dawson's like, it's their money. Like, we have to be calm. We have to be like totally calm about this because they're going to get someone else to do it if we're not. And that person is going to ruin the movie because they don't know it like we do. And Todd is just kind of like over it. He's like a prima donna. He's just done. He doesn't care.
Yeah. Essentially, that is what happens. I mean, it's so dumb, the storyline, how it pans out. It's really unbelievable.
It doesn't make any sense. It's so stupid and like fabricated where the executives, so they get back in the office and they're like, listen, this is so stupid. They're like, we need 3 days on a soundstage in LA, very minimal budget. They have to come up with a completely new ending.
Which will only take 3 days. Okay.
Apparently. Okay. And he's like, but I think, you know, she seems very confident that you can pull it off. So how do you feel? And, Todd is not pleased. He's just like, you know what? No, see you later. And he leaves.
Yeah. Bye, suckas.
Like, I don't understand this. I understand we're supposed to like believe Todd is like over the top and everything, which he very much is. But what I don't get is how we're expected to believe that this is a real true person that like exists, that like he would be willing to throw months and months, if not years, of hard work down the drain over a couple of reshoots. You feel like this person exists?
Okay. I'm going to sound like so stupid because I don't know anything about DC movies, but isn't there that guy that like films like Schneider or whatever, and like didn't they come out later with like a Schneider cut?
There's like an extra. Didn't he get
like fired in mid? Like I feel like in the Marvel or DC universe, something like this had happened where the director got fired halfway through and they had to do some reshoots and it became something else.
I guess that's fair, but like Todd is not a big name, which is why I'm like, it's unbelievable to me that he would just give up this opportunity because he is not like a big name in DC movies or, you know, Marvel movies or something.
So what if he quits now and then, you know, Dawson takes over and becomes the director of the movie, then does Todd's name get wiped out and they just
Todd's name is on it, but I assume that like Dawson's is also on it or something.
I don't know.
And maybe Todd loses out on some money. I don't know.
Who the fuck knows? So it's Wednesday now because we need to know the days.
We need to know the day. Okay. Yeah.
And Joey's in class. We learn that Joey surprisingly came back to this professor's class, which just seems unbelievable because unless she's retaking the same class to wipe out the D, then I don't understand why she would take another class by him. So she goes to him and she's like, hi, dude. I just want to let you know that your daughter, your 16-year-old daughter, came into the bar, cut class, and is seemingly acting out. And he goes, mind your own fucking business. Fuck you, professor. I'm just telling you what's going on with your fucking daughter.
Why?
Probably minutes away from slipping on, you know,
Seagook
and falling off the edge of the fucking thing. I've seen shit happen. Abby Morgan is a real thing. So I don't understand why he gets so aggro for being like, don't you dare tell me what's going on with my daughter. It's like, don't you want to know?
He gets very defensive, like, oh, you're saying I'm a bad father. And she's just like, no, I'm just telling you, your fucking daughter is in a bar. Like, maybe you want to know. Like, seriously, fuck this guy. Fuck his daughter. If I'm Joey, I see the kid in the bar, I'm not even blinking twice anymore. Just fuck the whole situation.
Like, kick her out? She's actually 15.
Whatever. Who cares? Kick her out. Sure. Why not? Yeah. It's just like I'm not wasting my fucking breath on this man or his dumb kid anymore.
No, he's so rude. And Joey's literally just trying to help him and has nothing to do with, you know, she's not trying to make him feel bad or tell him that she's a bad she is just doing the responsible thing and keeping this guy in the know.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
It is. It's dumb.
Flash over to the aquarium.
We're back in the aquarium.
I guess these two are just getting to know each other.
Yeah, they're just walking around the aquarium, just like chatting.
This does look like a nice aquarium.
Boston Aquarium is very pretty. Yeah, I've been. It's really nice. They start talking about like Emma had piano lessons when she was a kid. And like Emma had a lot of fish, which is why she likes the aquarium. So Emma asks like, well, why are you here every day? And Pacey says it's a window into the person that he used to be. Now, I will say, as much as this episode feels like a big fat nothingness, I did like that we're at least recognizing this is the heel turn, right? This is the factory reset that we're reminding everybody. No, Pacey used to be a different guy. He used to be on boats all the time. He used to like fish. It's very interesting because he says, oh, like, I'm not the conservative person that you think I am. And it's really interesting because she's like, listen, I don't believe you. In order for you to, prove this to me, you have to call out sick the rest of the day.
Which wow. Really sticking does. It to the man.
Yeah, he does. He calls and he goes, I'm sick.
Just like me.
Yeah, just like you. Sounds just like you. And that was how he proved that he was. That was how he proved that he was a cool guy. Also, the cell phone in this scene really cracks me up because it has one of those antennas that you pull out.
Bring back the antenna.
Absolutely not. No. Why?
Bring it back.
Why would you want the antenna back?
It's kind of cool.
It's not cool. No, I feel like the people will be with me on this one. It's not cool. Sarah's just staring at me. Anyway.
I disassociated from my body.
Really? Where were you?
I was thinking about the show Platonic instead.
What? Sarah, that's a totally different podcast.
No, I know, because Seth Rogen had this phone case. That it was like an old timey phone like that. It had an antenna.
Oh, I remember.
And I was
that.
Like, what are the odds I would say the word antenna 2 days in a row?
I guess antenna is a weird one to be saying so many times.
Yeah, so I was just thinking about antennas in general. Just like
this
aliens.
Is how boring this episode is.
Aliens,
like, literally, no one cares.
Antenna.
What has an antenna?
I don't know. Anyway, we're back at therapy club or whatever it is.
Therapy club. It's called the helpline.
The helpline. And Jen is suffering because it's too hard. And I think like CJ might have like a lot of restrictions. And maybe that's why like Jen can't really just like go and be her own self with the helpline. Like I think that there's a lot of rules. Understandably so, because, you know, you're taking on a very big responsibility. People are calling in their most vulnerable moments. So like I understand that there's probably a lot of guidelines and checklists that you have to follow because your job is to essentially help somebody stay alive. So,
right. And the other issue is like freaking CJ keeps calling her hostile. And it's like, of course she's fucking hostile. She's around this fucking dick face that she can't stand. Like that's where the hostility is coming from. Not in her like therapeutic, procedures.
Yeah. Maybe if CJ wasn't like up her ass, maybe she would be doing a better job.
Yeah, exactly. So she's getting frustrated with everything. And of course, David and CJ are like joking about her. But this is when Jack comes in. And gosh, I have to say, because we haven't talked a ton about it, I love David and Jack together. I think they're so freaking cute.
Yeah, David and Jack are great. I think that David is the most normal person that we've ever had on this show.
Yeah,
just
love him,
but nice and sweet and smart and caring. And funny. Like I love David, and I think that he's a really good match for Jack. I can't wait till he fucks it up.
But wait, well, we already get a little bit of an awkward moment because Jen drops the boyfriend word, and they haven't DTR'd. She's like, "Oh, you can't loan me your boyfriend for an hour. Wait a minute, is he your boyfriend? Have you guys kissed? Did I miss everything?" And they both just look at each other like it's so awkward. And so
have they kissed?
Leave. They haven't kissed yet. No, it happens this episode.
When?
later. Man, did you watch the episode? You're like, you fully disassociated the entire episode because it was so boring.
I don't know. When did they? I don't remember them kissing. I don't know.
You'll see.
I don't know. Okay, so the interesting thing about this episode, really, truly, is that every single thing should be interesting. Like, should be, but isn't.
It should be interesting, whatever. And it's not. So then Dawson has a plan. So he goes back into the Hollywood office, immediately drops all these papers, which is like, okay, everyone wants to know where the heck Todd is. Dawson's making excuses. And he's like, well, he didn't even know that I set this meeting up. So, yeah. And also, can I just say, Dawson is wearing jeans to this meeting. And that feels like a mistake. I feel like he should be looking a little bit more profesh, no?
Like a suit, or if you're doing the jeans look, like, I don't mind doing some sort of buttoned up shirt with jeans. But yeah, like, let's elevate it a little bit. Or he is wearing a button-up shirt. Okay, new plan. Blazer with jeans. Love that.
Blazer with jeans is much preferable
best,
to what he's wearing.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he admits that Todd's going to be a no-show. He's acting out. And they say, Dawson has the dropsies in this scene.
He drops everything.
Yeah, Fiji water.
He loves Fiji water.
He's drinking Fiji water. Which is not Poland Spring, by the way. It's not as good.
Of course not.
So
we're still looking for that sponsorship.
Long story short, they're like, we need to find a new director. And Dawson, you're hired. Which is so stupid.
This is a child. Like,
this is so unbelievable that they would be like, okay, Dawson, like, take on this whole entire production.
It makes 0%. It makes 0% chance. Oh, my God. It makes no sense. That they would be like, hey, you nobody, that is your, the director's assistant here, take our money and do the reshoots. There's no chance they're putting their faith in this nobody.
Yeah, but they do. And I guess like the reasoning is that like he's very close to the director, he's probably very cheap.
They can pay him next to nothing, but I feel like at this part, like, you're already have so much money invested in this, like, don't you want to finish it off strong? Yeah.
Well, their point is that like he knows the crew, he knows all the vendors, he, you know, is very close to the project. It makes sense, but he was just an assistant to the director.
That's what I'm saying. He has no experience. So for them to want to like put their faith in him, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But yeah, here we are, hitting factory reset. It's totally fine.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, yeah. So then suddenly this fucking episode is all over the place. We're at the beach and Audrey is hanging out with Jack Osborne again,
which was so weird.
I'm like, why is he back?
Why is he back? Where is she? She's all the way in California and she decides that like she wants to have a meeting with Dawson to try to like get back in the friend group. I don't know what's happening.
Again, it doesn't make any sense.
I love how Jack Osborne is like, your friends fucking suck and they're judgy.
I mean, he's not lying. So.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Yeah.
And Audrey says that she is broke. And she says she's not on drugs. But then this is where Dawson is going to show up and Audrey's like, oh, I'm on like thin ice, like stop talking about drugs.
Yeah, we have to make sure that when Dawson comes over, I need to be like cool and relaxed. So please talk about something like, I don't know, flowers, like something like, oh, the sand in the beach, like low key, everything has to be low key. So Audrey is calls Dawson over and starts apologizing for essentially being like, "Hi, I'm sorry I drove Pacey's car into your house. Can you forgive me? I really want to be part of the friend group again. I don't like being ostracized. I'm not on any substance, I promise." And of course, Dawson's like very forgiving.
Yeah, it's really interesting because like the only reason she called him is because she like wants back in the friend group, right? Like she kind of had slipped her mind for a second that she like completely destroyed his mother's house with a car, but okay. And yeah, she hasn't been in school. School's back, but she hasn't been going. She wasn't ready to like face all the judgment, but now she is ready. And like, this feels true to Audrey where like her main concern is Dawson being like mad at her.
Oh my God. So relatable. Oh my gosh. Like just putting like, for me anyway, just putting my own future like school and health and more so focused on if like people are mad at you or if people have issues with you or like if she does go back to school, she's not worried about school itself. She's worried like, am I going to still have like my friends or does everybody hate me? It's like so sadly relatable for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I totally agree. And it's like, so apparently he is like, I love how he doesn't even give her any sort of like a lecture on the stupidity of driving while you're on drugs and drinking. Instead, he's like, it is so dumb to get into a car with strangers that you don't know. And I'm like, I mean, I like this from Dawson. I like this look from Dawson where he's not being judgmental, but he is being like, hey, you're my friend. What you did was like really scary and it could have been really bad. So like, just don't do that. Okay. And yeah, I like this from Dawson. He doesn't really express a lot of judgment, even though again, Audrey did like ruin his house. So yeah, I like
there's home insurance. So is it that bad?
I mean, it's still very bad, but it's, they can repair it and yeah, it seems to be like they're okay. And then of course we have to go back to Hell's Kitchen, obviously, where Joey is being a little bit of a desperate baby again and calling yet again, trying to get a hold of Eddie. She's like, why wouldn't you call me back? Like, I'm really scared. Something's happened to you. And yeah, Jack and David are like, oh, he'll call. Don't worry. And Joey's like, can you actually just pay the bill so I can get the fuck out of here? It was really funny. And I did love that as soon as Joey leaves, David's like, yeah, like he's never going to call her back. And Jack's like, oh, wait, what? Really? I thought that like, are you sure? We don't know that. And he's like, come on. How many people have we hooked up with and never called? And Jack's like, oh, well, you know, I went out a lot this summer and I was just like fucking all over the place. And he's like, you know what, if I was straight people would like it. But this is where we get into like David being like, oh, like do you want a lecture? And Jack's like, no. And he's like, okay, we don't have to. But this is very much what they've been hinting at of like Jack is nervous to talk to David about how many guys he hooked up with over the summer because he doesn't want to be slut shamed, as no one should be.
I think that now I don't think that Jack needs to give David an exact number. I honestly think that as long as he's like, yeah, like I'm going to get tested, I, you know, was single this summer, then I think that it's okay. You don't have to give your partner a full rundown of your history.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that like, as long as you're being honest, then that's totally fine. So Joey is leaving with her super awful hat. This hat is,
what are you talking about? I thought you were gonna love this hat because it's a freaking bucket hat.
Yeah, but it's not a cute bucket hat. It's no, like,
bucket hats are cute. That's
there are cute bucket hats. It's like brown and fluffy and
it
like,
looks the same as all the other bucket hats.
No, it doesn't. It's ugly. It's not as cute. And as they're leaving, as she's leaving, of course there's freaking Harley again. And she's like, well, my father grounded me for a month. And so the best way to get back at him was to cut class again and come see you because you got me in trouble. Yeah, dick.
Yeah, dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, dick. Yeah. So she's dragging Harley around on a field trip, her own field trip, so to speak.
Yeah.
Fish talk.
More at the aquarium. So they're meeting up again at lunchtime. And it's 1 o'clock now.
Yeah.
And this is what Emma's here to see. And it's they're feeding the fish. So there's like guy dressed in a scuba outfit. Is going to feed the fish. And this is what Emma likes to see. Is this a big deal?
Well, I mean, I think that you get to see more fish.
I guess that's exciting.
But it's exciting.
Sarah, don't sound so enthusiastic. My gosh, you're about to break the microphone with your enthusiasm of the fish eating.
I don't know. I don't really care about the fish eating as long as they're eating.
Yeah.
I guess it's exciting because you get to see more fish.
I guess so. I mean, it's not as exciting as like what I thought it was going to be, you know?
What's the most exciting thing in an aquarium?
I thought it was going to be like a 1 o'clock show of like the penguins and they were going to get to like pet penguins.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That feels very exciting.
Yeah, I would watch the penguins.
Thank you. I know. It's like, okay, you're just feeding fish. Like that seems like it could happen at any time. Not
What's
just
cuter,
o'clock.
A penguin or a puffin?
Are they not the same thing?
No, they're different.
Oh, I don't know then.
Puffins are very cute. They have like little.
Oh, they have like the face. Rounded face and the little hair on top.
Yeah.
Probably a puffin is cuter. But what's cuter, a puffin or a flamingo, Sarah?
Flamings.
No, I'll take the puffin. Mm. Sarah looks very upset by this news. Anyway, so let's see. What's even going on here? Again, no one really cares. Let's see. Emma's saying. You know what? Why did you change your entire life? Like, what the hell is going on? And like for him, he wanted to be somebody else. And this tracks, I will say, Sarah, like as much as we hate this, like Numbers Incorporated PC character, it does track that he says like that's a part of growing up. Pacey at 15 was a schmuck, bad haircut, bad Hawaiian shirts, broke all the time, dumb enough to be chasing after things he knew he was never going to get.
Yeah.
This is Emma is here as a reminder of like, no, Pacey. Like, even though you were broke, we liked you that way. Like, not that we liked you broke, but we liked you when you were like chasing the dream. When you were a bit more of a dreamer, when you were creative, not this like businessman, Numbers Incorporated guy.
Yeah, but like he really is trying to just find himself. I think like he was attracted to the money, especially from somebody who didn't come from a ton of money. I think that he thought that this was going to be a surefire way to gain respect from his friends, from his family in particular.
Yes.
From Doug. Like I thought that. He thought that this is like, if I am a guy that has this 9-to-5 job and makes a good salary and wear this suit and grow this goatee, then people are actually going to think that I'm worth something and people are actually going to take me seriously and give me the credit that I and the affirmation that like I desperately seek.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen, which is even more frustrating because I don't know, because like he really, really tried. Like he really wanted people to give him this credit and it didn't happen for him.
Yeah, I think this is like very okay. As much as this episode is really like a nothing burger of whateverness, this is very relatable because when I don't care when you got your first job, but like when you did get your first job and you start making money, it's like, oh my gosh, this is the best. I want all the money because finally you're not relying on like your parents or your friends or whomever to pay for things for you. You could be like, you know what? I want this. I'm going to buy this, whatever that is. Like I want a snack. I'm going to go buy a snack. I want a gaming console. I'm going to go buy a gaming console. Like the world really is your oyster in that sense because you finally have independence in a way that you didn't have before you started making money. So like, for someone as young as Pacey, like we have to remember he's like what, like 19, you know, he's very young that getting a job and actually making good money and being able to provide for yourself in a way that you couldn't previously feels so grown up that you put all of a sudden, that is what the most important thing is getting money and being able to support yourself. And he kind of lost I feel like this is just like a life lesson that people have to learn. And maybe people haven't even learned it yet. Like it took me until I was, you know, the past couple of years before it kind of dawned on me that like, but money isn't everything. Like there comes a point when your time and your mental health and your happiness is more important.
So much more valuable.
Yeah. Than the money that you're going to get from a job that you hate. And while I think that Pacey didn't always hate this job, I think he appreciated the like grind and the hard work that he had to put in. But I think at this point, he's starting to feel that of like, ugh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Like, I'm actually not really happy. And like, what was it all for? If I'm like stuck working this job that is grinding me down and like I'm losing my soul a bit.
Yeah.
And so totally. I do just feel like he's learning a life lesson like much, much earlier than a lot of the rest of us learned it. Because he skipped that middle stage of life of like going to college. He jumped right into adulthood. And I really enjoy that the show is like, okay, but back up, PC. Remember that guy that you hated so much that you thought was a schmuck and wore these Hawaiian shirts and like was a little aimless in his life. That guy still had so many good qualities that it's not like you were a terrible person, you know?
So many. I mean, you know, he really was, he was caring, he was loving, and he was all these qualities that we did fall in love with. But back then he had the worst self-confidence because everybody was just telling him that he was a nothing.
Yeah.
So then he tried to become a something and he still realized that people were calling him a nothing, which is when you have to realize that is their issue. That's and on them. Not yours.
That is on them. And of course I will say like disclaimer, like all this is me saying all of this and like money still runs the world. You still need money to get by. You need money to live. Like, you know, I am very lucky in that I have options at this stage in my life. Not everybody is as blessed with options as I am, right? Like we all, the worst part is capitalism exists and we all need money to live and we all need to be able to survive somehow. So I'm not shaming Pacey for like taking this job that allowed him to be able to like get an apartment and pay his rent and buy groceries and everything. It's just like, hopefully there's a balance that Pacey can find instead where he can still make money. But it doesn't have to come at the cost of him feeling like he's losing himself or like, you know, he's mentally unwell. You know, like all of those things need to be balanced and weighed out as best as someone can while still trying to live, you know, because obviously we can't all just like quit our jobs and then not have any income. Like that's not the realistic world we live in.
Yeah, totally.
But I really liked this conversation. Like I said, it was a good reminder of like who Pacey was. Yeah. And so Emma says, well, I think tomorrow you should come here at 1 wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, let's get it from the storage units. We had plenty.
Yes.
So many Hawaiian shirts back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They probably all smell like mothballs, but it's ew. Okay. They've been in storage for a while. What do you think?
It's true. So
shave the goatee as well.
Okay, I would appreciate shaving the goatee and changing the haircut for sure.
Yeah. All right, I'm very interested to seeing if next episode we get old Pacey back.
We'll see. Back at the helpline, Jen is taking her first real call. She's talking about how like, oh, like someone forming a meaningful relationship, blah, 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 blah. It's her first real caller and she hung up on her and CJ says, oh, well, someone probably just like walked in the room and she got embarrassed. So she hung up and Jen's like, absolutely not. No, like I suck at this. I don't want to do this. Like, why couldn't it have been something else? And the phone rings and she makes CJ answer it. And it turns out, no, like, someone did enter the room and the girl did just hang up because she was embarrassed. And so CJ was right. But he says, you know what, like, call me back and we'll talk through this. Like, don't worry about it. And this is what I don't get of like, why are we giving CJ the, like, he was right storyline now? I hate him.
I don't know what they're doing with this character. I don't understand him. He's so confusing and nothing that I wanted him to be.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why we're giving him airtime.
I don't either.
So, yeah. So Jen kind of just feels crappy about herself because she couldn't do it and he did it. And, you know, they call her high strung in front of her. It's just like, fuck you. I don't know. I hate it. I don't need this guy telling Jen that she's crappy. Also, I feel like Jen's hair looks good this episode.
It doesn't look bad, I will say. No, it doesn't look bad. You know, which is about as good as compliment you're going to get
for Jen. Yeah. I do. And I think that she looks really pretty this episode as well.
Yeah. Very fresh.
Yeah. Okay. So Joey and Harley wind up at Eddie's apartment and she rings the buzzer and is not getting anything. And these two are bickering. Why does Joey not see the giant for rent sign right next to the door buzzer?
There is a giant for rent sign. Also, we need to just very, very quickly note Harley's hat.
Oh,
it's a doily hat.
It's definitely a doily. It's like the
red doily hat.
It has the crochet holes in it. It's like an ugly little beanie. Also, for rent in Boston, $500 a month. Get me there, please.
Girl, this is in like the early aughts.
She's so stupid. It literally has the unit number in it. If you just read Josephine Potter, you would know that Eddie's not there. You fucking dumbass.
Yeah. No, but she doesn't. She's like, you know what? We're checking in on him in person because the two phone calls he has not replied to. So, you know what? We need to just go bust in here. And Harley tries to talk about sex with Joey. She's like, oh, did you sleep with him? Did you go all the way? It's like, and Joey's just like, you're not allowed to talk about that. You're 15. And I'm like, Joey, she's 15. She's absolutely allowed to talk about this.
Well, I mean, not, you don't have to talk about your sex life with her, but she can totally talk about sex at 15.
Yeah. Give me a break, Joey. Just because you weren't talking about sex at 15 doesn't mean other people weren't.
Exactly. Just because you fainted at the idea of intercourse at 15 doesn't
you
mean
just
that
said intercourse.
So they go into the apartment and Joey's like shell shocked because it's totally emptied out. And Harley's like, oh, is this like some weird prank that you're playing on me? Like,
Harley's a fucking dumbass. Yeah.
She's like, obviously, this is not his apartment. You got the apartment number wrong. It's like, do you think that Joey's that stupid? She got into Worthington, which is an Ivy League college. Like,
yeah, Harley's a fucking dumbass. It's fine. And this is when we realized that, like, yeah, fucking Eddie moved out without telling Joey. And I'm like, is this the end of Oliver Hudson? Predictions. Does Oliver Hudson make a return or is
it
the end?
Oh, he has to.
Okay.
He has to.
I truly don't remember. I'm being honest. I do not remember if he comes back.
Yeah. Well, every single time I'm like, oh, no, this must be done with the character. They come back. So it's ridiculous.
I mean, who expected fucking Harley to be here? So
exactly. I am very surprised that he just like, I'm like a little worried about him, to be honest with you. Like, I would be worried about his health.
Okay. Predictions, Sarah. Yeah. Is he just ghosting her or is there actually something?
I think that there's something actually happening, to be honest with you. Like, I don't think that he's like disrespectful enough to just ghost her for nothing and then move out and run away. Like, I'm kind of concerned about him and or his family's health.
It's a little interesting to me that like, okay, because I feel like if he was just ghosting her, then maybe it's like, oh, maybe it's a family thing. But he full on moved. Like, he full on moved.
Yeah, I would
in,
be
like,
I
the
mean,
past
you
few
don't...
weeks.
I mean, it's been a few weeks. Yeah. But seriously, like, what is he gonna do? He's like, oh, your friend crashed into your other friend's house. I'm going to break up with you and move state. Like that, like it, you know, it doesn't like one plus one doesn't equal two. You know?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
So then we're back at Numbers Incorporated and it's Friday. In case you didn't know, it's very important that we tell you that
need
it's Friday.
To know info.
Yeah, it's Friday. We're at Numbers Incorporated. PC is wearing one of his old school Hawaiian shirts.
This one's so ugly.
It's very ugly. And also, I just feel like he would get in trouble for wearing this. Like, It's like, why wouldn't you bring a change of clothes or something? You know, yeah. Like you look a little strange because he comes in. He looks very 90s. It's very funny too, because Joshua Jackson, obviously we're six seasons in, you know, these actors are probably like closer to 30 than they are to 20. And so Joshua Jackson is wearing like a long sleeve shirt with a Hawaiian shirt over it. And I'm like, he looks like he's trying to be so much younger than he actually is.
He's like, hey kids, like I'm wearing your cool fashion.
Yeah. Hello, fellow children.
So yeah, he's wearing his Hawaiian shirt. He didn't gel his hair this morning, which I think his hair looks excellent in the scene.
It actually does. I agree with this.
It looks so good. And he has like his little curly cue.
I love his curly cues.
I love it. But the goatee stayed.
Yeah. I wish that was chopped off? Yes. But
I'm covering his mouth. I'm trying to remember what he used to look like.
Oh, let me try that. Oh, yeah. Okay. He looks good. I feel like the hair is still a little fluffy for me, but.
No, I like his hair like
you
this.
You like the fluff?
I do. So I hated it when he cut it short. It was so bad.
Oh, apparently it's Casual Friday. So, but Ronaldo is still in a suit and tie.
Yeah, everyone is in a tie. So basically, Ronaldo comes around and is like, I am questioning your fashion taste. It is gross. Mm-hmm. And PC says, why don't we talk about it after lunch hour? I really have to get to the aquarium at noon.
Yeah, he doesn't say that, though, because Ronaldo is like, well, I know you were faking being sick. And so here's a fucking giant ass pile of work that you have to complete.
How does he know?
I mean, because Pacey was probably super fine before he left for lunch break and Ronaldo.
Okay, you could go, you can leave, eat like from the food cart outside and then get food poisoning within a span of 30 minutes.
I totally agree, but does Ronaldo not read as a boss who would be like, even when you're sick, you better be fucking here. Like,
oh yeah, I had a boss like that.
It's unhealthy. It's if you're a boss like that, you really need to reevaluate your fucking priorities.
So I had this like boss where like the night before I got food poisoning or something, throwing up all night. I like told my boss that, and she said, go to the Walgreens, buy like anti-nausea and like come in. If you need to like lay on the couch, that's okay, but like you need to be here to answer the phones.
How about you fuck off? That's fucked up. Did you go in?
Of course I did.
Oh my god, awful, awful, awful. That's what sick days are for.
I did not get sick days at that job.
Oh, I can't even. I'm so upset. Ronaldo's like, well, we have a shit ton of work, and even if you're sick, there's still more work to complete. And PC's like, you know what? I know what your problem is. I'm like the best employee that you have. So he's getting really cocky, and he's just like, and PC says something that we all knew, which is all the money that PC makes, a certain chunk of it goes to Ronaldo. So he like, you know, he wants more money. So he gets stuck, and he's just like, you know what? Here's your W-2. I bet you get paid way more than you did when you were working at restaurants. And he's like, you know what? If you want to go back to the easy life, by all means. But if you don't, then you have to work through your lunch. And so we get this like, did you think he was going to go to the aquarium, Sarah? Did you think he was going to stay at Numbers Incorporated?
Oh, he was done.
Done where?
Like, I thought that he was going to be done with Numbers Incorporated. Yeah.
Yep. But Emma is hanging around the aquarium in her shitty ass page boy hat, waiting for Pacey to arrive. There's another man who shows up in a Hawaiian shirt. It's not Pacey.
Oh, it kind of looks like fake Pacey.
It does look like fake Pacey. He doesn't have a goatee either. But she waits until 1:30 and then she leaves. And Pacey is nowhere to be found.
Well, I don't remember. I thought that he came.
That's how unmemorable this fucking episode is.
I thought that he came.
No, he doesn't show up.
Oh. Pacey.
The fucking snooze fest.
Your corporate drone or whatever. Clone. Drone?
I think it's drone.
Yeah. We are back at the helpline and Jen is, I don't know, she's sulking.
She's sulking. She's waiting for the phones to ring. And CJ is like, hey, I'm going to go out to the coffee car. And Jen's like, absolutely not. I'll be here alone. I'm like, how are there not, there's not more than just like a single worker here at any time. This doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, not a lot of people want to give help at the helpline.
No, Jen's hair does look good in the scene, I will say.
Yeah. Jen's really turning it around.
Yeah. But she's like, please don't leave me. But there he goes. He leaves.
It's time for you to be a grown up.
Yeah. And she picks up the phone. And you know what? She's like, I'm going to try to help you.
Good. You got to try.
Great. Then we're at the health clinic, which was really not explained well at all this episode. And, Jacket's results that are good news.
Yay.
We'll love to see it. And Jack asks, like, and I do like this, the honesty in their relationship of Jack asking, like, listen, everything I mentioned yesterday about all the hooking up I did yesterday over the summer, did that change your opinion of me at all? And I love David's response. David's like, I could tell from a mile away you were going to be sluttier than me. Come on. Give me credit. Like, look at you. You're so good looking. Come
yeah, you're
on.
Hot. You definitely pull in the guys.
Mm-hmm. He says, like, you're no Vigo, which I'm pretty sure is like a reference to the Lord of the Rings guy, isn't
who's
it?
Vigo
something or Vigo. Other. Vigo Morgan something. Vigo Mortensen. I'm looking it up. Vigo Mortensen.
Mortensen?
Vigo Mortensen. He was
is that David's celebrity crush?
I mean, it sounds like he's a huge Lord of the Rings fan.
Oh, what a freaking dork.
He's plays oh Taylor, don't listen to this. He plays Aragorn. That's what he plays.
Taylor does not listen to this.
Good, because she'd be upset. Anyway, he apparently loves Vigo. But they end up leaving. And this is when, Sarah, they have their first kiss.
That was a bad kiss. That was a bad kiss. It was very...
It was very much like peck your grandmother kiss.
Peck your grandma. I want them to have a better kiss. I also think that there's probably TV restrictions because TV is gross.
Agree with that. I did think it was cute. I didn't think the way it happened was cute. Where like Jack is like, we're not going to talk about this.
It was natural. I think that's what it is. Like it felt natural yes. for them to like have that kiss. But then they're like, wait a minute. Like we're not there yet.
Like, well, I really like it because it's not over the top. Like a lot of like shows make first kisses like very big and over the top yeah. and like momentous, and a lot of times they're just like very simple, and I like that this was a simple kiss, but I do agree with you, it was a little peckish, but again yeah. it could be because they're like, okay, we can have two guys kiss on our show but they can't make out, you know, like that's probably what it was.
No, sadly.
But I agree with you, but I did think it was like very cute, right? It was a very cute first kiss.
Yeah, I'm excited to see more kisses and mm-hmm. affection between the two of them, because I really do like them together.
Yeah, they're great together. Joey is back in class, and of course the professor, I like, honestly, I wonder if the other students are like, god damn it, professor, pay attention to me, you're so focused on this one,
you're so it's me. Very it's giving Feeny and Corey.
It is giving Feeny and Corey. Yes, it is exactly that. And so he, of course, asks about like some book or whatever the fuck. No one cares. Basically, Joey says like that grief keeps happening over and over and over again. One minute they're there, the next minute they're gone. And no one can ever explain to him what happens. And it's obvious she's thinking about Eddie in this moment. And just as she's about to leave, the professor's like, hey, here's $50. Like, I know you took care of my daughter. So here you go.
Yeah, this was surprising. So you're just going to throw money at Joey?
Basically. And
then out of nowhere, Joey is hired as a babysitter.
This is so stupid. $65 three times a week to help with her homework as well.
What? Like, why is Joey babysitting the professor that is so mean to her.
I'm getting as far away from, yeah. Here's what I think the show is trying to get us to get out of this. I think the show wants us to think, well, Joey thinks Harley sees like herself and Harley because she has a deadbeat dad.
Sure.
And so Joey wants to be there to mentor her. That's what I think.
Okay, sure.
But like, okay. I think it's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I think like, I guess it's kind of like the little brother, big brother program that Casey was doing with that.
But it's not volunteer. You're getting paid.
Dorky little kid. But yeah, you're getting paid to do it. It's just like strange to me only because it's like, why Harley's 15 years old. That's like so embarrassing for her to be babysat.
Agree. Like, I feel like it's different if she's getting tutored, but that's not at all what they're doing here.
No. So $65 a day, three times a day.
Three times a week.
Three times a week. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry. $65.
Not a bad gig. Depending on how many hours, I guess.
Okay, but also that's $195. Like, can't we just round up to $200 a week?
$200 a week. That's a good deal. I mean, depending on how many hours, like, a day she's watching her.
Yeah.
Although Harley is a little fucking brat, so
that's
I don't know.
That's for Joey.
Yeah. Did you ever do anything like this, Sarah? Like, I don't think you – did you babysit? I can't remember if you
– Yeah, I babysat.
Yeah.
I was a babysitter.
I never babysat in my life.
Babysitters club. Yeah, I had a babysitter's job.
I feel like I would be terrible at it. They would be so annoyed. I'd be so annoyed. Oh, my God. Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, like, it was really annoying at times, but – sometimes it was really nice and you got good snacks.
Love a good snack.
Yeah, kids have good snacks.
We're at the beach and Dawson finds Todd with a surfboard. Again, we're back to more unbelievable nonsense where apparently – so Dawson came to apologize and for stealing Todd's job, basically. Mm-hmm. Todd says, no, they called me. They apologized, which I'm like, why the fuck would they apologize to Todd? But okay. And Todd says, no, I'm not doing anything. You're going to do it. Like, you have to benefit from right place, right time. Like, you're very talented. You know that. So you need to go do what you're going to be doing. And you need to, like, actually do these reshoots.
So they're saying that they didn't go behind Todd's back and hire Dawson. They called Todd, tried to get Todd back, and Todd said, fuck it. Like, give it to Dawson.
I guess so. Like, again, it's not super clear to me exactly what happened. But Todd basically is saying, like, you're better than me. I want you to finish out my job. And also, I can't wait. You need to tell me all about how Natasha looks the moment that you're her new director. Okay. I mean, this is all very silly. It doesn't track to me. I know Todd has a soft spot for Dawson. Like, that has been made abundantly clear to us. It does not track to me that he's going to give up all this stuff for Dawson, though. Yeah. He's a very self-interested character.
Which makes me think that, like, if Todd still gets paid X amount of dollars and doesn't have to do these stupid reshoots,
I guess, but I feel like he would be paid less. But what do I know?
I don't know.
So that's our episode. That was honestly pretty boring. The only bright spot I would say is, like, the PC stuff that, like, you know, being reminded that, like, there was a different Pacey before this.
Yeah,
you
know? I guess I did like the Pacey stuff, but I kind of liked it better when, in my headcanon, he decided to quit Numbers Incorporated, which actually did
I mean, I would have liked that better, too, but that's unfortunate.
Maybe we're an episode away. That's probably going to happen next episode.
Well, do you want to know what the next episode's title is?
Yeah, what's the next episode's title?
Season 6, episode 12, All the Right Moves.
Oh, isn't that... that's another song, but I think that that's
it?
By One Republic. All the right moves by all the right places. You know that song? We're going down. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that song?
Yes, I do. Of course I do.
Okay.
But did that come out?
One Republic song.
Oh, no, apparently it's also a 1983 sports drama movie.
Mm.
So maybe it has to do with that.
I have no clue.
Anyway, That's next episode's title. Are we ready to get in some feedback? We actually got a fair bit of feedback for an episode that I would consider to be meh at best.
Well, okay, so maybe they'll tell us that we're wrong.
Maybe. First up is DBK. Let's see what DBK has to say about this episode.
What up, though, ladies? Okay, first off, I don't really get this. The first scene between Dawson and Natasha. Dawson seems to be like in good spirits and is like treating Natasha nice, and she's just coming at him with all this attitude for some reason, even though they like just broke up, and they broke up like civilly, like on good terms, it seemed like. So I thought that was weird. And then I'm not sure what's going on with Jen this episode. Like, I like that we're getting her some screen time and stuff, but like what's going on with her exactly? I'm not really sure. And then we get Heston's daughters back, yay. Jack and David show up for a little bit and are getting tested, I think. And then we get the cameo of the Breakfast Club's principal. That's like Dawson's boss. And yeah, and we had the days of the week in this episode for some reason. I'm not really sure why we did that, but okay. And let it not be said that Dawson isn't a good friend, because if you call him, he will show up, because that's what he did for Audrey. So, like, I appreciated that, Dawson. Anyways, I don't know what else to say about this episode. Till next week, ladies. Peace.
Okay, so that was driving me crazy because I definitely recognized the executive guy, but I couldn't place
it. It did not even dawn on me. Thank you, DBK, because you are so right. That is him.
Yeah, I was like, I know that guy. How do I know that guy?
Oh, that's so much better. Okay, well, at least we weren't the only ones who were a bit like, meh.
Yeah, DBK seems to be on the same page with us about, like, why. I guess that's it. Just why.
Yeah. We also got feedback from Moni. I believe that's how you pronounce your name, but please let me know if I'm definitely not pronouncing that correctly. So they said, hi, guys. Long time no email. I've been watching along with you guys for a while, but got busy with college. Oh, look at you. Now that I'm on break, I thought I'd give my opinion on this episode. I want to start off by saying this episode was kind of mid. I'm not going to lie. Oh, well, good. Okay. We're on the same point there. I mean, we start off with Dawson and Natasha, which, I mean, whatever. I personally was never a fan of her character, though I will say Dawson was a bit ridiculous for ever thinking they were actually a couple, and I can't wait for y'all to see her reaction to Dawson being the new director. We got something to look forward to next week. I don't want to hear any more about Joey's annoying professor and his baby kid. I mean, I like that we got to see Joey be actually nice and concerned for once this season, and I mean, BB kid? B-E-A-B-E-A? Is that something?
Bebe?
Is that like some kind of lingo that I don't know?
Wait, what? Okay, let me look at the email.
Okay, it's Bebe Kid, and it's like all, it's in caps for both B's and Bay. It might be kids lingo. I'm so sorry, Moni, if you're like all hip with the lingo and I have no idea what's going on. Let's see. Actually nice and concerned for once a season. The Bebe Kid was right. Joey does need to shape up, but I think we could have used this time better. Totally agree with that. I hated Jack's behavior in this episode. This is interesting. He really needs to get out of this mentality of, but if I was a straight dude, because of that internalized homophobia is not cute, and I can't imagine how he would fare in today's world where queer culture is so prominent. I mean, I think the answer is, like, he would be very different if he was written today. Like, he was written for the time period, so I feel like it makes sense that he would be very down on himself because of that. What else did they say? A jackass is still a jackass, and I don't like how he kisses David to shut him up. No bueno behavior once again. Oh, we totally interpreted that different. I saw it as like a, okay, we're not going to talk about this anymore, quick little kiss, but they read it differently.
I mean, it's totally possible, but
yeah,
I think that I'm in this like haze of like they're really actually developing feelings for one another. So
I think I'm just so happy for Jack that he finally has a decent partner that I'm like overlooking some of these other things.
I just like really want to look at it differently and be like, they're falling in love and Jack is not going to mess this up in 1 to 3 episodes. So,
yeah. Okay. I love how Dawson handled the whole situation with Todd and that however unrealistic it is. Also, unpopular opinion, aside from the remark he made last episode, I think Todd is such a fun character and I like his accent. I mean, we all do. We all like his accent. I think that we gave Jen some screen, or I like that we gave Jen screen time. However, I'm not feeling her in CJ. Like, let's not continue this because he made clear he doesn't like her, and it would be so weird if we went back on that. I 1000% agree with that statement. Like, if they really unwind it, Sarah, and have CJ and Jen get together, I'm going to be not happy about that.
Yeah, that would be really irritating.
Mm-hmm. As for Audrey, yeah, we still have 10 plus episodes left to unravel that dilemma. And personally, I don't think Joey's a bad friend. I just think they were never as close as some people claim.
Yeah.
Interesting. I viewed them as like Joey finally had a friend that was a girl that like she actually got along with. And I felt like the fact that they were such opposites really did have them cement a really strong friendship last season.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just don't think, oh, sorry. I liked PC and Emma plot, PC reflecting on Doug's harsh judgment and looking at what he wants in life. That's true. Actually, we didn't even point out that like he just had this like really deep conversation with Dougie about who he used to be last episode. And I'm sure that's why he's thinking those things.
Oh yeah, now. Totally. Totally.
You know, and she said, or they said, hope you have a good week, guys. Thank you so much, Moni. We love hearing from people.
So I do have the baby kid reference. So.
Oh yeah. What is it? Please okay. tell me.
So one prominent fictional baby was featured in the 1992 animated film Bebe's Kids, based on the comedian Robin Harris's stand-up act about a group of badly behaved kids at an amusement park. Thanks to the act and the film, the term Bebe kids have become a shorthand for misbehaving children, sometimes used humorously amongst Black persons or offensively to stereotype Black children.
Interesting. I've Very never interesting. Heard that term before.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate that reference that, you know, the more, you know,
the more, you know,
she is a misbehaved child. So
yes. We also heard from Miriam. Hi, Jess and Sarah. When I saw this episode title, immediately knew what title was about, as I work in film and television.
Ooh.
We have an IRL Dawson in our lives. Jess is correct on the term day out of days. We use it on every production, and it's a great handy tool to know which actors are working on what particular day and which total amount of days that actor will be working for the shoot. Mm-hmm. After watching this episode, I kind of understood why they went with Day Out of Days as the title for this episode. I also want to mention the episode from the last season, The Abbey, which is another film term.
Oh, is it?
Abbey, name after Abby Singer, is the penultimate shot, the second shot of the day.
Oh, so, my gosh.
The second to last shot of the day. That episode was the second last episode of season 5. It was funny how Sarah's prediction for that episode was Abby Morgan coming back. But I yelled back, no, it means it's the second to last episode. But of course, this is just a podcast and you can't hear me. Anyways,
we want to hear you, though.
I know. I would love to hear what people yell at their podcast when we're talking to them.
You people are stupid. You know nothing.
All boobs, no brains. Anyways, it's pretty cool to watch Dawson working on a film set using all the terminology we use on our sets. I know if I had watched these episodes 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't understand the terminologies they were saying. That's Miriam, so if cool. you have like literally any like behind the scenes fun tidbits that like we're missing, or like any other... Like, I want to know from you, Miriam, is what happened to Dawson, like, at all realistic? I mean, you work in the industry. I'm really curious if you can provide any, like, behind-the-scene type tidbits that, like, we're missing.
Could this be possible?
Yeah. No, and, like,
probably not.
And also, like, I just want your opinion on Dawson as, like, a film, being that he's, like, this, like, filmmaker. Yeah. He wants to be a filmmaker, and what you think of that.
Also, do you ever go by the nickname Midge? Because I'm, like, really into the name Midge right now, which is a nickname of Miriam. So
let us know, Miriam.
Let us know all these things.
I will say they signed the email Miriam. So if they do go by Midge, it's not how they're signing off on the email.
But I love that name.
Midge is very cute.
Midge is very cute.
Isn't Midge from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Yeah, that's probably where I'm like obsessing over.
I feel like there's a Midge
in
there.
It's so cute. But her name is Miriam. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, okay.
Her full name is Miriam, but she goes by
Midge. So let us know, Miriam. And also thank you for writing in. We also heard from Joy, who said this episode is fairly meh to me. Okay, great. Yeah, we're not
okay.
The only
everyone's in the meh mood.
Yeah. I do like the insight we get into Pacey. He's still in there, the Pacey we know and love, underneath the stockbroker facade. But again, the self-worth and financial security that he's getting from that job is making him willing to stay. At least this means that the kiss that Emma and Pacey shared was just a fluke and won't be anything that would be too ridiculous. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm so happy that Joy read this the exact same way we did, of like, you know what? The other Pacey is still there. It's still possible. Let's see. Love Jen. She's amazing in the little time we have with her. CJ is okay, I guess, but he still sucks. I love the through line we get of Jack and David and the progression of their relationship. I could do with more of that and less of Harley and Professor Hudson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, yeah. As always, Todd is delightful, which is very confusing because he's also terrible. I like that Dawson gets this chance to direct the reshoots. Good for him. And his moment with Audrey is nice. Here's hoping Audrey gets some help. I wish they handled her storyline better, more like how they handled Andy's mental health storyline. Yeah, oh, totally. My God. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, and yes.
That was very well done. But also we had Kevin Williamson back then, who
exactly
was a huge advocate for mental health issues. So
yeah, I feel like they really just wanted to ramp up the drama with Audrey and then like really side sweep under the rug Audrey's, yeah, like the fallout of it.
Yeah.
Fuck Eddie. He goes to Joey after they slept together and just up and left. My heart broke for Joey in this moment. She didn't deserve that. Up to this point, I was okay with Eddie. He's no Pacey, but he's all right for the time being. But now he's dead to me. Till next time. Bye. Yeah, like I guess it's just so strange to me that like I hope we get an explanation on where the fuck Eddie went.
Yeah, we have to.
They can't just leave us hanging like that, right?
Yeah, no, of course not.
That much, but I mostly care because Oliver Hudson, not because of Eddie, you know?
Sure. No, it's definitely not the last time we're going to see Eddie. We got all these other stupid fucks. Why wouldn't we get Eddie back?
That is all the feedback we have. Thank you, everyone who sent it in. You can send in more shit90spod.com if you want to send us in a voicemail, or we also have like a little messaging system in there. We also have a spot you can make suggestions for stuff you want us to cover, which we do really, we read and we take into consideration, and we love hearing from you all. You know what else, Sarah, we should ask people? Because we try to do these like cutesy themed months occasionally, right? Like this month is just missed it June. Yeah. If you have like a theme idea, also send that in, right? Oh, yeah. I feel like that's a good call. I mean, our listeners are very creative and smart, so I feel like you'll be able to provide us with some ideas.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Of course, we would credit you, obviously. We're not assholes. So put in your suggestions if you want to email us, shit90spod@gmail.com. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram @shit90spod, of course. Sarah, you have stuff going on. What do you want to plug for the peeps to listen to?
Yeah, for a PSR, Adam and I are covering two shows. We are covering How I Met Your Father. It came back. We had a very fun first episode back. And then in addition to that, we are also covering the show Platonic. It's new. It's on Apple TV. It's with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. We're really having a great time on it. So check that out on Posha Recaps. And then as we were talking about Just Missed It June, we have a poll up that is running for another few days where, you know, the theme is movies that are just before the 90s and just after the 90s. So we have four options on the poll right now. Miss Congeniality, Bring It On, Heathers, and Troop Beverly Hills. Bring It On is unsurprisingly winning at the moment. And in terms of our other poll that's going right now, who's more dramatic? That's up for another four more days. But currently I am being voted as the most dramatic in a 73.7 to a 26.3 vote. So I'll take it.
I feel like that tracks.
Tracks. I'll take it. I'm happy with that.
Go check out the Platonic podcast. I was actually listening to it before we hopped
on. Oh, give me your review.
Morning. I mean, I love it. You called me out for, because you gave me a compliment like first thing in the morning or something like that. And I just responded with hi.
Yeah, you did not.
Which is about right for our relationship. But I will say, I do think I'm more sentimental than people give me credit for.
I agree.
Because I did send you, I saw like a little meme that made me think of you.
Oh, and I sent it to you.
And I do want to like put it out there for all the listeners too, because I think it's like an important thing to like remember. I'm not someone who's necessarily like this, but if you are like Sarah, if you give and you give and you give, and you like don't ask in return a lot of the time. I saw this thing that like is something maybe people need to hear. If you're a giver, learn your limits because takers don't have any.
Yeah.
I thought that was so like smart that like that's true. If someone is a taker and they take and take and take, they're going to take everything that you have to give and just like know your limits and know like take care of yourself too, you know?
Yeah, thank you. I need to hear that, and I needed, you know, in life to be reminded of that. So I appreciate that.
But anyway, go check out the Platonic podcast because it's very, very funny. And honestly, the show is really good. It's really funny. Good. So check it out. It's on Apple TV. And it just started. There's only a few episodes out. So go check it out. It's very, very fun. You could find me at The Jess Sterling on Twitter and twitch.tv/TheJessSterling. I've been streaming some games lately. I streamed Unpacking, which is like a very relaxing gamer. I think you'd like, Sarah, honestly, because you just like unpack a room at a time and you follow this person's life and their journey of like different places they move into. And it kind of tells a story in a very passive way. I really, really enjoyed it. And then next I'm going to be playing Last of Us 2. Very different vibes, but that's coming up. And then I just finished up Succession and Yellow Jackets coverage, but the Succession coverage isn't over yet. We're going to be doing some character rankings as well as episode rankings. So if you want to check all of that out, it's happening at Pusher Recaps. And I'm actually doing another podcast very soon with Grace Leader, where we're going to be talking about the show, a new show from Peacock called Based on a True Story. If you are a true crime girly, and you love true crime, I feel like this show will really hit you in the right spot. It has Kaylee Cuoco, and I really love her. I feel like she's very relatable. She always tends to play like these little bit of like offbeat characters who can't seem to get their lives together. And basically the show premise is like she's obsessed with true crime podcasts. And she like her and her husband, there's like a serial killer on the loose in their neighborhood. And it's very, very funny. I've only watched one episode so far, but Grace and I are going to be podcasting about that. The whole show drops on June 8th on Peacock. So if you want to check out that podcast, we're only doing a few. We're doing like, cause it's a binge. We're doing like a pilot one. We're going to do another one, which is full spoilers. So check out that show. And I think that's everything I have, but we'll be back next week with All the Right Moves, season 6, episode 12. Don't forget to vote in the poll for Just Missed It June.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, hold on. Should we tell them that I think that we're going to be recording together next week?
Oh, yes. We're going to be recording together in person next week.
So that'll be fun.
It's going to be very
fun. The vibes are like very different. Like it's
the vibes are different.
The vibes are different when you record in person. It's just a lot of fun.
I'm so excited. So that'll be really fun. Sarah gets to go to my plant nursery that I love. Mm-hmm. She's going to be taking home my little propagated pothos that I potted yesterday.
Yay. I have 7 days to feel better. So
yes, I believe in you. You could do it.
I believe in myself. I'm going to get some medicine in me.
Some vitamin C.
Yeah. Very run down. So.
Very run down.
Very run down.
But thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next week for another episode of Dawson's Creek. Until then, everyone, goodbye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.